Tis Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, How You Can Be Too Poor to Vote. An op-ed was published in the New York Times about the 10 million people who owe $50 billion in debt from their experience in the criminal injustice system, written by Daniel Lang and Thea Sebastian, who are civil rights attorneys connected to the Civil Rights Corps and the Campaign Legal Center, respectively. It's so shocking and timely that I want to bring it to you pretty much whole. Here goes. As Election Day approaches, feverish drives to turn out new voters, over 6 million people, will be denied the right to register and cast a ballot in November. That's almost 3% of the U.S. adult population. While many Americans would claim to believe in second chances, this country's felony laws frequently block people from full participation in our society after they've served time by denying them the right to vote. Those who have completed their sentences are all too often prevented from casting ballots simply because they have unpaid court fines and fees. In 7 states, Arkansas, Arizona, Alabama, Connecticut, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida, laws explicitly prohibit people who owe court debt from voting. In other states, such as North Carolina, New Mexico, and Wisconsin, in order to regain the vote, people must complete parole or probation, which often requires paying excessive fines and fees. In all of these cases, the price tag can be significant. In North Carolina, for example, people who have been incarcerated must pay $40 per month in supervision fees and $90 per month if placed on electronic monitoring. And these are often alongside the fees they've already racked up. These include $60 to determine whether a person is too poor to afford a lawyer, $10 a day for each day that he or she is jailed pretrial because bail was unaffordable, and $600 if the prosecutor tests evidence at the state crime lab. A national research project collecting information from 14 states found families owe an average $13,600 in court-related fees and fines. We've seen reporting on people who owe tens of thousands, $33,000 in one case, $91,000 in another, and in too many states you cannot cast a ballot until you paid every penny. Regardless of the stated goal of this policy, the effects are clear. Wealthy people can pay these fees and vote immediately, while poor people could spend the rest of their lives in a cycle of debt that denies them the ability to cast a ballot. You may be wondering, where do these fees come from? The answer is that the criminal justice system charges individuals for almost everything. In every state but Hawaii and the District of Columbia, there are charges for the privilege of wearing an ankle monitor. In 44 states, there are charges for probation and parole supervision. In 43 states and the District of Columbia, there are charges for public defenders, even though our Constitution guarantees both counsel and criminal trials. In 41 states, people are charged for room and board, and the list goes on. In Ohio, all told, there are 118 different fees and surcharges. By the time people reenter society, they often owe thousands in debt. Nationally, about 10 million people owe about $50 billion in debt associated with the criminal justice system. Worse, this money is generally being demanded from people who are unlikely to be able to pay it. A Brookings paper that linked data from the entire prison population to earnings records over a 16-year period showed, at best, only about half of those recently released are able to find work at all. And even when they do get a job, many earn an income well below the poverty line. The combination of employment discrimination, license supervision, housing restrictions, and other barriers to economic stability makes reentry into society and the ability to earn enough to pay off court debt nearly impossible. When citizens are denied a fundamental right based solely on wealth, a bedrock principle of our Constitution, that our government cannot deny poor people basic rights in our society simply because they're poor, is violated. Lawyers from Civil Rights Corps have used this argument in dozens of cases, arguing against practices that include wealth-based detention, driver's license suspension over unpaid debts, and the extension of probation terms when people can't afford drug testing and supervision fees. In the 7 states that explicitly hinge voting rights restoration on debt repayment, legislators should remove those provisions from the laws. We must end the practice that allows states to link voting rights to debt repayment and completion of probation or parole. And until they do advance those reforms, governors should use clemency power to ensure that those barred from restoring voting rights solely because of unpaid debt can vote immediately. We won't have full democracy unless every voice is heard at the ballot box. What I say is amen. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.